you say greed.
Well, I want to say, first of all, thank you all for all your prayers and everything that, you know, that we've started a coffee shop, and I know that folks here have been praying for us with that, and it's been going amazing. I mean, the whole thing has been such an adventure of, you know, how it happened, and that's another testimony, because I'll need longer time, but I just wanted to share, you know, God has been moving this morning, and, you know, I really feel like he wants to heal some wounded hearts here this morning, mm-hmm. and he wants to restore hope and bring joy back into your life again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been experiencing that ourselves, and what God has been doing in us and in our life and our situation. And, you know, a funny story, and I won't share the whole thing, but I was in a place where I didn't want to be. Elise dragged me in. And I thought it was crazy and weird, and I didn't want to be there. And while I'm there, God spoke to me. I was like, okay, first of all, I'm not even thinking anything about God. I'm thinking I want out of here. And what he said to me when I was there was that that creativity has been stolen and taken away from my children, and I want you to restore that. And I'm like, well, okay, I don't know anything about art, you know. She can spend 4 hours looking at a picture, and I'll run through the place, and I'm done, you know. And, well, just thinking about that, what is that? But the spirit of religion just comes in and brings us down. It oppresses us, you know, the rules, the legalism, and all the things that are involved in that. And the Holy Spirit wants to give us joy. You know, he wants to return to us our joy. You know, we look at God and we see, you know, ways of perceptions of God that sometimes aren't accurate. And we look at God, you know, when God created the heavens and the earth, what does it say? It says, and he saw that it was good, right? And sometimes we can have this perception that God is just like, good. You know, but it's not like that. I believe that God was like, hey, look at that. Look what I did. That sounds mafia now, but no. Look what I did. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Look at that mountain. Look at the lights. Look at the ocean. I mean, that spirit, we have that spirit within us, that spirit of creativity, because God created all things, and that same spirit of God is in us for creation, to build, to restore, to bring whatever that is in us. I used to get so upset because the giftings had skipped me for worship, my whole family, you know, could worship, could sing, could play guitar, whatever. I couldn't do it. And it would always bother me. But I've found in other ways that God gave me creativity, which is in coffee drinks and food. I love to do it. I love to see people get happy. And the joy that it brings people to have a great cup of coffee, to have a great sandwich or whatever the case, and just mixing the flavors, and they enjoy it so much. But God wants to return to all of us that joy of creativity. All of those things that have been sucked out of us, talents and gifts that we set on the shelf because things have come into our life and just where we have totally placed all of that on the shelf. But God wants to say to you this morning that I want you to pick that back up. I am returning to you your joy. I am returning to you the spirit of creativity that is rising up in you right now, and it's time for you to get moving again. Those pictures, those blessings, those things that I've talked to you about, that I've spoken to you about, I am bringing back to your remembrance. And when you step into that again, you're going to begin to see that joy that comes out of just the simple things, whether it's woodworking or making coffee or making food, playing piano, playing violin, all of those things, you will see that joy returning.
Awesome. Thanks, baby. That was really good. Woo. Thank you all. It's so lovely to see so many wonderful, friendly faces. It's always a joy to come back here. We love you guys very much. All the way up, God was talking to me about taste and see, taste and see, taste and see. And I was like, okay. And then after all the worship, and he was just saying, it's so much easier than what we make it. He says, come on, try me. Come on, just try. just try, just taste. Just, you know, when you're trying to get your little one to try carrots for the first time, and you don't give them a huge ladle, right? You give them a little teeny baby spoon and you say, here, try this, and you smile and you encourage them, right? And that's what he is saying this morning, that there are some things that we aren't trusting him in, right? There are some things that we think we can do better. I'm guilty. But he invites us. Taste, come on, try me in this area. So I would just encourage you this week to ask God, hey, where am I not trying you? Where am I not tasting you? Because if I'm not tasting you, it's because I'm not looking for you, right? So I just want to encourage you this week to look, to see, to taste, and know that he is good.
Hallelujah. All right, isn't God wonderful? He's glorious. He's magnificent. He's the kindest and the tenderest and the most encouraging person that I know. God's agenda always is for life. God's agenda is always for the increase of his kingdom. We aren't just churchgoers. We're members of the kingdom of God. We're fellow heirs of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We are citizens of heaven. We live in heavenly places. We just don't know it enough. And then we operate on the earth. We're so earthbound. God wants to give us a higher view. God wants, as he did with John, John's 70 to 90 years old, working in a salt mine, the last of the 12. And Jesus kept him alive for a reason, because he gave him the entire book of Revelation. Wow. And in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, after he talked to him about current events that he was living through, he said, come up here and I'm going to show you what comes after this. But I don't think that was just for John. I believe there's an invitation to come higher for every one of us. I had a vision this morning. I can't help it. That's just what prophetic people do. We just see things. And the vision was that there was like a window over every person in this room. And I was aware that God was opening the window. It was like they just swung open over us. And there's an open heaven. There's an openness to everything that God wants to bring to you today. You can receive today. And so the good news is, I'm usually pretty brief. Somebody touch somebody and say, isn't that good news? Brief is 4 hours. No, it's not. You're going to look in the Bible in 2 Peter. Excuse me. Let me get there. And excuse me, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read some verses out of there. And I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to just enjoy God today. We're going to encounter him today. I think we put limits on how much we can encounter God. You know, like one of the things that Joel touched on is the spirit of religion. You know, going to church and stuff is absolutely wonderful. It's a privilege. But a spirit of religion is all about performance. It's all about trying really hard and getting weary and getting burnt out and being frustrated. That's what religion operates in. See, a spirit of religion doesn't even care what you believe. It just wants to distract you from the truth. It just wants to draw you in to all kinds of activities and get you to be unaware of who God really is and what he's doing. So a spirit of religion really has nothing to do with God. It's evil, it's dark, and yet it operates very powerfully on the earth, just like a political spirit. Is anybody aware of a political spirit in this? See, a political spirit has a lot in common with religious spirit. A political spirit doesn't care who's running or what they're doing. It's really after all the division it can bring, all the arguments it can stir up, and all the frustration and disappointment it can bring about in people to keep people from recognizing the goodness of God. See, the common theme is, with a political spirit and a religious spirit, is to not recognize the goodness of God and not recognize the kingdom of God and to be distracted. Be distracted. But you have been given a different spirit, Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus today, the Spirit of God lives in you. Somebody be happy. Even if you're having a bad day, the Spirit of God's living in you. Look at somebody and say, there really is hope for us. I mean, if the Spirit that created the universe lives in you, and he does if you're a believer in Jesus, there's a lot of hope for you. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter, it's really hard to believe that a former fisherman wrote this book, because this is some of the most intense truth in the scriptures that Peter wrote under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He says here to us, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Boy, is he talking to the politicians only, or is he talking to us? Wow. God wants us to put away something. And of course, the question would be, how do we do that? So why don't we look, we're going to be back in 1 Peter in a second. Turn over to the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul writing the church of Galatia says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh or of your lower nature, your old nature. But I say, walk by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writing the church of Rome said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. So the proof of our faith is that we walk in the Spirit. And see, I think that the church, coming under religious practices, has gotten away from being led by the Holy Spirit. We know how to do programs. We know how to set up meetings. But we don't come down to that place where I know Holy Spirit is leading me in my life today. He's telling me to call this person. He wants me to go over to this coffee shop that I usually don't go to because he wants me to meet somebody. I just know I'm supposed to go to that coffee shop. I've actually experienced that. He'll tell me to call somebody that I haven't called in 5 years. He'll lead me to renew relationships with people that we've just gotten out of touch with. God's Spirit leads us in relationship to himself and also in relationship to other people. It's really an adventure. A few months, some of you are aware, my wife Kate went home to heaven a year ago, and a few months after that happened, the Spirit of God came to me and said, the days of your dullness are over. And I went, dull? I didn't know I was dull. And he said, well, you don't answer phone calls. You don't return phone calls. People reach out to you and you don't get back to them for 2 or 3 weeks or maybe never. And I tell you to get in touch with people and I tell you to do things and you don't do it. So you're dull. So that was kind of intense. I call that a short conversation with God. And meaning that he says something and I have nothing to say. Just like, okay. And so I just really recommitted to a prompt response to what Holy Spirit was leading me to do. And he led me to a coffee shop 20 miles from home that I hadn't been to. And I've met a man who's now a very deep friend of mine. And God birthed new things in my life because I was led by the Spirit. And I want to address you this morning. Maybe there's some dullness in your life. Maybe there's some things in which you haven't been really prompt to be obedient to God when he's led you to do something. I've got good news for you. First of all, he forgives you because Jesus paid for your wrongdoing. And secondly, you can start right now to be obedient and responsive to the Holy Spirit. It's not that difficult. You have the ability to hear God because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. See, God entrusts a lot more to you than you think he does. He wants you to grow up. The writer of Hebrews said that you might grow up in him into all things. You see, God has all things for you. If you're not experiencing all things, that's because you need to grow up. Somebody smile at me now. This is good news. I think he's talking about maturing. I don't know. I think that's what the preacher's talking about today. Yes, I am. Because you see, God wants us to reign with him on the earth. That doesn't mean that we all get new pink Escalades to drive. You know, it's not about toys. It's about the fruit of the Holy Spirit coming forth in our life. It's about a kingdom community in which we really love one another and prefer one another and serve one another. That loneliness is broken off of our life, and it's a memory. It's not a fact for us anymore. It's that there's restoration of relationships within families and without. And that comes about because we are able to be led by the Holy Spirit. Anybody in here want to say, I think I can be led by the Holy Spirit? I think I can do that. I think he's, you see, the emphasis a lot of times is on what we have to do. And really, we give God a bad name because he's done so much already for us. It's like we figure we have to do our little part, and if we don't do our little part, God's not going to do anything. Well, he's already done everything. He already died for you. He created you, and then when you went into a sinful lifestyle, it didn't stop him. He sent Holy Spirit after you, and then he brought you to the knowledge of the fact that Jesus was your Savior, and now you're a born-again person, and he's not done with you. He went through all that you might be a representative of his kingdom right where you are, to your neighbors, to the person down the street, to people you have not yet met. You realize I'm prophesying to you now. There's people that you're going to meet in the coming months, in the coming years. They're going to have life-changing experiences with them. And you're going to be an instrument to bring about change in their life, and they're going to be instruments to bring about change in your life. Can you be excited about that? Same old is over. It's a new season. It's a new season on the earth, not just about going to a meeting, but being the living, breathing body of Christ. So how do we put away the malice? How do we put away that Peter talked about? How do we put away the bitterness? How do we put away the slander? God help us. We get on Facebook and even Christian people we disagree with, we get on there and call them names. That's called slander. Well, God's got something better. He says in Galatians chapter 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the old nature. And then in verse 25 of Galatians 5, if we live by the Spirit. Does anybody in here know that we live by the Spirit? Pat Bryson's life isn't about how much food he eats. God help me. It's not about, we are having a buffet afterwards, right? It's not about how much food I eat. It's not about how many things I possess. It's not about how great I think I am. But it's about the reality of Christ in me, the hope of glory. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Isn't that a neat picture? Holy Spirit's walking with us. See, a lot of times religion talks about what we do for God, but the kingdom talks about what God does in partnership with us. See, I'm not going out to go on out and present Christ to the world. Christ in me is operating through me to present that, and Holy Spirit is accompanying me in the journey to reveal the Father's love to the people that don't know him. So it's not on me. It's not my burden to bear all by myself. He said, cast your burden upon you and I'll sustain you. I'll never suffer the righteous to be shaken. So God wants to put upon me an easy yoke, Jesus said. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yoking was how they put two oxen together to work together. I'm yoked with Jesus. I get to move with him. I get to walk with him. I get to experience all of life with him. This is good news. Is anybody happy this morning? Is anybody joyful this morning? I think you should be. So back to 1 Peter chapter 2. So Peter says here, put away. And how do you put it away? By walking in the Spirit. See, sometimes we think the goal in life is to be crucified. As everybody knows, Jesus didn't just stay crucified, right? Are you aware there's a resurrection? In the Christian life, there's not just about being crucified. It's about being resurrected with Christ and living a full new life. Right, Christian? There's so much power in the resurrected reality of Christ in me to move me into and past whatever hinders me. We don't have to be concerned about what hinders us because Jesus already conquered us. That's good news. So I do face challenges. Now, if somebody here says they don't have challenges, they're lying to you. Or they're completely deluded, because life has challenges. We live in a fallen world. But the reality is that Jesus has overcome already. And now I get to partner with him and Holy Spirit and walk through the challenges that present themselves to me, because God is with me for victory. Amen. He didn't leave me to figure it out for myself. See, we're Western Christians. The culture of America and much of Europe is greatly influenced by Greek thinking, whereas the Bible's greatly influenced by Hebraic thinking, and they're different. Hebraic thinking is that the inner me and the outer me lines up together with the throne of God, and through that, I can do all things. I can do what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because I'm aligned with God. I live in relationship with God. Am I right, Larry? I live in relationship with God. I don't just pop in and out of relationship with him. I don't visit him and he visits me. We have all kinds of bad theology. It's like God's way out there and I'm down here, and I got to, whoa, God, are you listening to me? Are you aware of my problems? But rather, God is totally aware of my life, and he's living life with me. He's living life in me and through me. It's an adventure. Somebody smile at me today. I got good news for you. Joel very prophetically was talking about the restoration of creativity. It's also the restoration of the adventure of the Christian life. That it's not bad news. It's not more misery. It's the reality that we've overcome. There is the kingdom that you and I are a part of, Robert, is absolutely unlimited. God doesn't have any recessions in his kingdom. He's not concerned about who is or is not dog catcher in this season. Because whoever's elected to whatever office, Jesus is still king. He still reigns over all. He's not scheduled us or appointed us to misery. He has appointed us to reign with him. And so anything that's challenging between those realities coming to pass, those challenges are going to be overcome, because Jesus has overcome them already. So, Pat, what are you talking about? Just some kind of positive thinking or trying really hard? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what was sung about this morning, about a surrender of your life to him daily. That he's in charge and I'm not. Great story, Heidi Baker, the great missionary and apostolic mother to thousands and thousands of people, thousands of churches in Africa. She wasn't always. She struggled as a missionary. And her and her husband were called by God to go to Mozambique. And when they got there, they had orphans that came to them. And then they had more orphans and more homeless people. And Mozambique is very probably the poorest country on the face of the earth. And they were called to minister to the poorest of the poor. And God showed up in her life doing miracles. I was in a meeting when hardly anybody knew her, and she got up and talked about how she had assembled a few toys to give at Christmas to children in the dump, and assembled some food, and they're going to go give it away. And God said, well, wait a second. First of all, go on over here to this people that live next to the dump and give toys away to them and give food to them. And but God, there's only enough for the kids in the dump. And God said, go anyway. And the toys didn't run out and the food didn't run out. And then he went, and then he said, wait a second, there's the people in the town. So go to the kids in the town, in the whole village, go to the kids in the village and the people in the village and give food and give the toys and presents to them, because it's Christmas after all, right? And when they did that, the toys multiplied and the food multiplied. And then they said, Spirit of God said, go back to the dump now and feed all the children and feed their families and give the toys away. And they didn't run out. And when she shared that testimony, there were about 1,500 pastors in Toronto, Canada. She was not scheduled to speak, but they just got up and introduced her. And as she shared that story, everybody, 1,500 pastors, we were all on our faces. We all got as low as we could go, because the holiness of God was revealed. Because our sister was just talking about being led by the Spirit and miracles accompanied it. The same God walks with you. There's miracles waiting to happen in your life. God's not done with miracles. He hasn't taken a break. He hasn't said to some of the angels, I'm going to leave the room right now and we'll get back to miracles in a few millennia. He didn't do that. But he's a God of miracles for you today. So let's close our eyes for a second. You need to really, really receive that. I'm prophesying to you. The age and the time of miracles in general is not over. But very specifically for you, there's miracles coming. Give me your hand, sis. There's miracles coming for you. Not just good events, not just hope, not just some encouragement, but my sister, miracles are coming to you. What man can't do, God's going to do for you. What you can't figure out, God's already figured out. God's bringing supernatural provision to you. He's bringing supernatural strength to you. And he's bringing supernatural guidance to you in this season. And he says, expect more. We just expect to be disappointed sometimes. But God says to you, sis, this morning, expect more from me. Whoa. Right now in this room, it's a holy moment. You need to turn away from the unbelief that said miracles stop for me. You need to turn away from being hopeless about your situation and giving up and go, well, I just got to settle for this. Why would you believe that? He created the universe. Why would you believe that he still isn't a supernatural God? He's supernatural for you. For our lovely new married couple, God has so many miraculous things he wants to do for you folks. Beyond your expectations. You know, he's brought you into a new covenant of love. He's going to take you beyond the joys of the initial points of marriage. He's going to take you into a wonderful journey together. And miracles are going to happen for you. Why can I stand in a room with people, most of whom I don't know very well, and say miracles are going to happen? Because I know God. Because I know his nature. I know who he is. I've watched him fill up gas tanks right in front of my eyes when there was no gasoline. I've watched him multiply food. I've seen it happen. I'm not telling you about something somebody else experienced. I'm telling you about the God that I know. So we're going to put away the negative things. How do we do that? But we walk in the Spirit. And it says in verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed, here's a verse that was reflected on by Elise, you've tasted that the Lord is good. He's going to give you the milk to mature, but he's not going to stop there. See, he wants us to have that hunger for the nurturing milk of heaven as a newborn child is hungry for its mother's milk. There's an innate hunger installed in the child to turn to the breast to receive the milk of life. And God has put into our nature that we hunger for him and we need to receive the nurture from him that only he can give us. But we're not supposed to just stop there. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, as I try to work with modern devices here, this is challenging for me, but it'll get better. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. This is from the New American Standard Bible. But solid food is for the mature. See, we're supposed to mature. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses. Do you have five senses? I think you do. You have your senses trained to discern good and evil. So we start out with just not childish, but childlike, wanting the milk of heaven to be given to us so that we can mature. But then as we mature, the King James says here, solid food or strong food is for those who are maturing. I got good news. I'm maturing. How about you? I may not be there yet, but I'm maturing. I'm growing. And God wants to train our senses as we feed upon the strong milk, as we feed upon the milk and then mature into taking the strong meat of the Word of God. And Jesus said, I have meat that you don't know of. And he said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. So obedience is the working out of our maturing and be receiving the food of God into our life so we can grow. That fundamentally, when God instructs me, I obey him. So we grow up into him in all things. Now let's look back at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, as you come to him, we're always coming to Jesus, aren't we? There's never a moment that we're not coming to Jesus. It's an ongoing lifestyle. I don't get tired of it. I don't get distracted to go do something that's more fun or better. It's all about just the relationship with him. It's not about how many meetings I attend. It's not about how good I am because I gave up my Twinkies and fasted for 2 days. It's not about that, though those are all helpful. It's helpful to fast. The scripture says when you pray. It doesn't say you should pray. It says when we pray. We have a lifestyle of prayer. We have a lifestyle of putting aside what's convenient for us. We serve other people, but all of it is about the growth of God that he gives to us as we respond to him as he leads us. I hope I'm helping somebody this morning. Hallelujah. So it says here, as we come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. You yourselves, talking about you, are living stones that are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. Turn and look at somebody and say, you're a lot more spiritual than you think you are. Come on now, you're a lot more spiritual than you think you are. I mean, how many of us tell ourselves how unsmart we are? You know, we forget something, you know, so stupid me. Well, you just cursed yourself. Why'd you do that? God doesn't think of you as stupid you. So why do you think of you as stupid you? Got to stop some of that stuff. Need to relate to the fact that God's working on me. You know, around every one of us, there should be some cordoned off things around us and some scaffolding because we're all under construction. Anybody who walks around me should actually have a hard hat on because there's construction going on in Pat Bryson's life, and you may get the overflow of it. A beam may fall on your head or something as God's working on me. Come on, laugh a little. You're under construction. But in the reality that we're all living stones being built up as a spiritual house unto God to glorify him. Then it talks about Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In verse 6, behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Somebody needs to highlight that for themselves. There is no shame in the kingdom. I'm never going to be ashamed as I believe in Jesus. So the honor is for those who believe, but also those who, the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. And they stumbled because they disobeyed the word. See, we stumble because we disobey the word. Verse 9, but you, talking about you, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Yeah, he's really talking about you, a people for his own possession. Actually, other translations say his special treasure, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now, somebody say now. Now you are God's chosen people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hallelujah. God's working in me. Whew. I don't see all of it right now, but God's working in me. God's taking me someplace. My life is not stuck. Stuck is a lie. I shared on a video, and I do videos 3 days a week. I shared on a video about how I spent 3 years feeling sorry for myself. Not really proud of it. I didn't like the way things were going in my life, so I decided to take control of my own life. I did some really smart things, Cheryl. I went out and borrowed money I couldn't pay back, and I got in debt, and I had a lot of fun when I was in charge of my own life. You know, fortunately, God assigned people to rescue me. So I wasn't smart enough to help myself. God had some people around who had some of his wisdom and had some of his hope, and it transformed my life. Wow. God, you're not stuck. I felt stuck, but I was not stuck because Jesus liberated me. I was sharing with Joel the other day, Chris Vallotton, who's an amazing prophet, prophesies to thousands of people every year. He was an auto mechanic, and he had an auto shop in the mountains of California, and things were going really well, so he borrowed a bunch of money, and then the economy went bad, and he owed $1,500,000. You think you got problems. And he had no way of paying it back, so the, you know, all the wolves are at the door demanding their money and being threatened with lawsuits and foreclosure and all this stuff going on. And there was a man in that town who was not a preacher. He loved Jesus. He went to church, but he was not a person on a platform that anybody ever heard of. And he came over to him and said, "Son, God told me to help you." And he said, "Here's the conditions for me helping you. You meet me for coffee twice a week from now on. We meet down at the cafe down there. I'm going to talk with you." And the man just shared with him about the wisdom of following the Holy Spirit. And then three different people, this really happened to him. I'm not telling you a fairy tale here. Three different people came to him and gave him $1,500,000 total. Three people. God told three people to go to a failing auto parts store in a little village in the mountains of California, and each one of them gave an average of $500,000 to him, and he was debt-free. But it started with a wise man who began to speak into his life so he could come to repentance from all the nonsense he got into, and he could come back into flowing in the Holy Spirit. See, there's no mountain that God won't knock down or climb up to get to you. There's no barrier that God will allow to stand between you and him. There's no failure. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. There's no failure in your life that is so great that God isn't greater. And he wants to resolve that failure, that sense of failure and shame in your life, and bring you out into the light and the glory of God. It's a good day in the house of God. I feel like praying for people. I don't just feel like praying for people. I feel like prophesying over people. So if you want me to minister to you this morning, I want you to come up and stand up here in front, and I can be pretty efficient. I can share with you. Don't everybody come at once. I mean, it's just... There we go. Just somewhat like a straight line all the way across. I'll get to you. There we go. Come on down. The water's fine up here. Holy Spirit's here. If you're still seated, I'll be glad to minister to you. This is not a lengthy process. Hey, you're good right where you are. What's your name again?
My name?
Yeah.
Kayla.
Hey, Kayla. So good to meet you today. Yeah. So I heard the Spirit of God say, "Kayla, new times, new methods, new means." It's new times, new methods, and new means for you. You're not limited to what you've experienced before. God's bringing you into a season of fellowship. Fellowship is where people really get you. You know, they don't need to be explained to who you really are. They just know you because they built relationship with you. God's bringing you into fellowship with people that will really get you. Don't have to explain yourself. Boy, I don't like to explain myself a lot. It's really nice when people really understand me from the start.